mean, I'm up. First time I heard a message on Mephibosheth, I can't pronounce it too good. This man preached it. Brother Roger Baker, my pastor. Thank you. Thank you for letting me come tonight. I appreciate Brother Voorhill asking me. It's a real privilege and a blessing and a special treat for us to be back at Calvary. This has been our longtime home church for how many years? I think it was 1977 when we first began attending the church. And Brother Baker's been my pastor all that time. He's a real blessing. And I just appreciate him. I just want to say this about him and as a tribute to him. I came from a church that rarely didn't teach me hardly anything. I came to Bible college and I started under his ministry. And I began to learn and I began to grow. And I thank God for it. It was not by chance I came. We came to King and we had heard about Brother Baker, but we hadn't seen him. We didn't know where he was. We didn't know where Calvary Baptist Church was because it was kind of hard to find. And I'll tell you about that in a second. But I was riding down by the main street down there. And Michael Babe, I think, worked down there at the garage. And I saw this bus that said Calvary Baptist Church. So we pulled in and walked in there and I asked him. I don't remember who was there who told me that. I think it might have been Michael, but he told me, said, I asked him, where is the church that goes with that bus? And he said, oh, it's right down there. And he told me down toward Rural Hall and so forth. And so we found the truck stop that next Sunday, and we attended there. And we were debating today whether you should call it the truck stop or the way station, but we always called it the truck stop. And I have fond memories of that place. Let me ask you something. Just those of you who attended the truck stop, would you stand? Look around, folks. Look around. There's some faithful people to the Lord.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
That's 1977. Who's a mathematician? Tell me how many years that's been. 37 years. And those folks have all been a blessing to me. I look around and I see them. I wish I could mention everyone that you've been on, but some of you are special. I told Ms. Jones tonight that I asked her, was she still living the same place she always had? And she said, yes, I do. And I said, there must be something special in the water over there. And she said, what? And I said, well, she hadn't aged in, I know, 10, 20 years. She hadn't, has she? She looks just as young as she always did, and she's a sweet lady. She's been praying for us all those, and I can mention all of you. John Vernon, I see you back there, and I appreciate you. I really do. He's prayed for us and my family all these many years, and so many of you, too. I see the Mabes and just so many. I can't mention all of you, but I tell you what, I love you, and you're special, and Carolyn and I like. And by the way, if you don't know Carolyn, that's her sitting over there by Diane. And we just appreciate the fact this church has stood with us all these many years. And we went to Bible college and attended here. And then we were at the old building, then the new building. And we never did get over here. That was after our time. But I do say this is special to me. And I do reemphasize it again that Brother Roger Baker is God's man, has been all these many years, and I just thank God for him. Yeah, I'll never be able to express it, brother. I won't be able to say it in words, but it's here, and it's even more than that, it's in truth. God bless you and your wife. Tonight, I want to do a book. Can I sell some books? Go by my table. There's some prayer cards there, and you can take one of those and remember to pray for us. And there's little blue cards there. They are URL of the website. You can go there. And there's a whole lot more on it than Mormonism, okay, by the way. Just about anything you can think of in the article. People have asked me questions. I answer questions almost every day. Traveling, I don't do so much of it, but
I get up first thing in the morning, people send me questions from all over the world, and I answer them. And many times the questions that are repeated many times turn out into an article. And there's some books back there that are addressing that I've just written and have it published now. It's in Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all that. And it's, is Calvinism more biblical? And the answer is, of course, it's not. Just to let you know that. But if you're struggling with somebody in Calvinism, get that book. How many of you have struggled with understanding the Trinity and being able to explain it to somebody? There's a book back there called Understanding the Trinity. And well, how many of you are interested and concerned about this way our country's going? There's one back there on Jude talking about the apostasy of the age in which we're living in. And there's all kinds of things back there. There's some, and the prices on it are basically what it costs me. I'm making a little bit on it. That's to try to replace those I give away. Carolyn says I give away more to sell. That's just the way it is. You know, I see somebody needs it, you know, and I give it to them. I give it to a lot of pastors that I think needed it, okay? But you go by, and if you'd like to get one of those, feel free to get it. And there's some free literature there, too, How to Witness to Mormons, Pointers in Witnessing to Mormons. And some information about us and our background and so forth and what the Lord has been doing in our lives for the past 27 years after we went to Utah. We've actually started four churches, but one of them we merged with the church before that, so now we've just gotten back down to three. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 is a story that the Lord told about a man named Zacchaeus. And as I was reading the story and working on it, I actually found I'm not good on titles. I titled this the best I knew how to do it. Every saint has a past. You know what? If you're saved, you have a past. And every sinner has a certain future unless something drastically happens in his life. The miracle of salvation. In Luke chapter 19, verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. And he ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. I must abide at thy house. And they saw it. We'll tell you who they are in just a minute. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, now, do you see many details in there? You know, if you've experienced salvation, you know what happened. You know what happened. You may not know the exact words and so forth, but the greatest soul winner in the world was standing there talking to him and explaining to him. And so he just says, and Zacchaeus stood up and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. Well, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now go back to verse 6. And I may be stretching this a little bit, but I believe I'm not wrong in it. To make the emphasis, when Zacchaeus was told to make haste and to come down and he had abide at his house, he said he made haste, he came down and received him what? Joyfully. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for our time together. May you speak to our hearts. Dear Lord, I hope that those comments that were made tonight would be well received. We do thank you, dear Lord, for the faithfulness of our pastor, Brother Baker, over these many, many years. We thank you for him. And we ask you now to bless our time together. And all those that stood up, dear Lord, what a testimony to the faithfulness of God, those who believe you. And that's what happened. That's the message tonight, dear Lord, as we shall see. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's been said that every saint of God has a past. And likewise, every sinner has a future. The phrase addresses the fact that every believer in Jesus Christ was saved out of sin and has a past as a sinner. That's without any question whatsoever. If you haven't come to grips with that, you've got a problem. Every sinner who has not recognized himself as a sinner, responsible to his God and Creator, and by faith repented of their sins, believed in Jesus Christ for their salvation, has a certain future. Yeah, it's not preached a whole lot today, and though we hear salvation messages, I believe over the years we began to tone down the sin part, and we also have begun to turn down the hell part and the lake of fire, because it's real. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't believe in the lake of fire and you don't understand what it is and so forth, then you've got a problem. And if you're not trying to understand it in the sense of that working in your heart to realize what's going to happen to those around you who don't trust Christ as your Savior, then you, again, got a problem. Because the people around us, we need to understand, if they don't trust Christ, they are going to spend eternity in a hell. The lake of fire after the great white throne judgment. And sometimes we get so calloused and that we just kind of look it over, and because of the difficulties many times of witnessing to people, and we see the rejection of so many today and all the junk that's going on in the name of Christ, I want to tell you what, there's only one way that all that's going to be straight. And that's going to happen at the rapture. And all that junk's going to it'll be straightened out. Of course, it'll go on because the Antichrist, he'll embrace all that and use it. But thank God we won't have to be a part of it anymore. We don't have to see it. We don't have to even look around it and understand it and see what people are being, how people are being deceived by it. The key is this in Zacchaeus' life. And I think this is what the Lord was trying to emphasize. He was trying to emphasize the change that took place in Zacchaeus' life. He could have told us all about how he led him to the Lord and how he explained to him who he was, and certainly he did that. But he wanted us to see this is what happens in the life of a person who receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. And again, we see this easy believism of today. And it vexes our righteous soul because we know the deceptiveness of it, and we see also the destructiveness of it. And so many people, one of the problems we have in Utah is there's nobody there going to hell. In fact, they've just believed out of hell. They've made a new religion, and they have a place called the Spirit Prison, but they have heavens, but they don't really have a hell. And even if you're a bad Mormon, a really bad one, you're going to go to one of the heavens, the lower one, you know. You won't go down. You won't be up here with the elite Mormons, the worthy Mormons, but you'll still get there. And so when you're talking to somebody, they don't see their need for heaven. They don't need to see their need for Christ. Why? Because they're going to make it no matter what they do. And you see, that's the thing that's going on across our country today. And these charismatic Pentecostal and these churches and the emerging church movement is of the devil. If there's anybody ever come of the devil, it's of the devil. And it's just, and the people are being deceived into that stuff. And they're going in there, and if you talk to them, they're the most spiritual people that you ever met. And they can talk the talk. But folks, they don't walk like Christians walk. They don't, because they don't understand that. And by the way, if one of those shysters, and that's what they are, that's standing in the pulpit, was to preach that, you know what would happen? He'd have to shut down and he'd go bankrupt. Because people are not going to accept that. They're not. The gospel of Jesus Christ offers a new and a beginning for those who trust in Christ as their Savior. That's what happened to me. July the 22nd, 1972. A little town called Rocky Mount, North Carolina, out on Highway 97. Went to a little church out there. But before that, my wife's grandmother died. If you know me very long, you've heard me say this and give my testimony. I attended her funeral. They asked me to be a pallbearer, and I was lost on my way to hell. And I wasn't concerned. It didn't bother me a bit. But sitting in the front row as a pallbearer, I heard a country preacher get up and preach the gospel, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And he told us about this lady who was in the coffin and how she had trusted Christ as her Savior and how when her body just completely disintegrated and she was so unhealthy she couldn't do anything, she'd tell her children, "Let me go. I know where I'm going." And so, you know, she was ready to go. And I'll be honest with you, I've seen death. I've seen quite a bit of death in over my years. But I'll tell you what, I've never seen a Christian die. Never had. And that grabbed me, and God used that in my heart. And sitting in that pew, nobody knew what was going on in that funeral home. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You say, how did you do that? Because I recognized that I was a sinner, and if I died, I'd go straight to hell. I wouldn't be like this lady was, and I knew one day I'd be there. I'd be in a funeral home somewhere, if the Lord willing, and somebody'd be preaching a funeral over me. And I knew it. And I said, where will I be? And I knew enough, and I believe was raised in a Christian home. My parents tried to teach me right. I didn't much care about it. Didn't really mean anything to me at all. But I tell you what, I knew the truth because I had heard it when I was a boy. And I believe that preacher, and I believed what he preached, because he preached the Word of God. And he preached it out of a King James Bible, by the way. One old King James voice. Let me tell you about a lady. Her name was Louise Fletcher Tarkington. She wrote a poem about right after the death of her daughter, Laurel. Her daughter was a schizophrenic. She was a teenager. She died of pneumonia at 16. She had had a terrible life, all kinds of health problems. Louise Tarkington died the next year. She had been living literally in a terrible state, or you could call it a state of hell with her husband. He drank and abused her in every way whatsoever. She had a bad family. Her family had committed suicide. Numerous ones in her family had committed suicide. And she had divorced her alcoholic husband. And her family was plagued by, as I said, by suicide. The title of the poem is The Land of Beginning Again. Listen carefully now. I wish there was a wonderful place called the Land of Beginning Again. Folks, there's such hopelessness in this poem. It affects me every time I read it. Where all of our past mistakes and headaches and all of our poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never be put on again. In our words, haunting. No hope. No hope at all. Living such a hollow life. Nothing really to look forward to. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you don't have any hope, that's a bad state. She died, by the way, the next year. Miss Tarkington was a Mormon. And the words of this poem tells us she didn't know anything about the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. She had no hope for change. She had no hope of overcoming her problems. And the poem reveals that she thought her past friends,
her past sins were overcoming and could not be overcome, and dropped like a shabby old coat at the door. But the truth is, it can happen. And those of you who have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior know this. It can happen. Past mistakes, headaches, and selfish grief, and most of all, our sins can be swept away, never to be put on again. Let me tell you something, folks. That means a lot to me. That means a lot to me. This poem expresses the desire that many have of starting again, putting off the old past and all of its mistakes and the failures and the pain that it caused. The past can hold a lot of bad memories, and sometimes we hold on to them, and sometimes even after we get saved, the old nature, one, or the devil, number two, will bring it up and wave it in your face and say, look, that's what you really are. And then you can plead the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, what a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful thing it is. In living in Utah, we get a lot of snow. And we live in a travel trailer. We still are. Hopefully when we go back, we'll be able to buy a house. We're hoping that'll happen. And Carolyn's all excited about it, and I am too. And we've been living now for a long, long time in a 37-foot fifth wheel. But I have a window in there, and it's in one of the slide-outs, and the chair's in it. When it snows, and sometimes it'll snow like that. And especially at night, and in the morning, the clouds are dispersed, and the sun comes out. And I was sitting in my chair, looking out into the yard, and I see this most beautiful sight. That beautiful white snow, just perfectly level out there. And the sun is sparkling on it. And it just looks like a million diamonds out there. And I always say, that's what God sees in my sin. He doesn't see them. That's what He sees when He sees me. Pure. Perfect. Perfect. Can you believe that? Perfect. Why? Not because I'm perfect. Everybody knows that, knows me. But I'll tell you what, I'm perfect in the eyes of God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His death and sacrifice for me. And let me just say this. It was for you too. It was for you too. Is there anyone in this room that is beyond the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? Not anybody. If you'll think about yourself and put yourself where you really are and accept the reality of sin and the reality of what lies in the future, you'll be happy and rejoicing, or you'll be like Miss Tarkington, disappointed, living a life just never dreaming of ever overcoming anything. And she died that way. That's the message that Jesus, I believe, was putting forth in telling us about Zacchaeus. And the reason I know that because, well, why didn't He give all the details? And you know, you have to look at what the Lord did, and He just didn't do it inadvertently. He had a reason for recording this for us to read. But let me make some pointers in here. Jesus was passing through Jericho. And Jericho is, when we went to Israel, I wasn't able to go there because it was right after 9/11. We were the first group in Israel after 9/11, and it was still a lot of tension. And they wouldn't let us go into Jericho because of the problems and everything there. It's a Palestinian town. I wanted to go there. But there was Jericho, and there was a man there, and he had sold his soul to the Romans. And he was a publican, which meant he was a tax collector. And he was robbing his neighbors and his fellow countrymen right and left. Now think about this. Now you look at your life and think about Zacchaeus and what he thought of his. There wasn't any question that Zacchaeus knew who he was. He walked down the street. What do you think the people did? How are you, Zacchaeus? How are you doing today? You know, no. They turned their head from him. They didn't want to see him or speak to him or do anything.
He was totally ostracized from Jewish society because he was a traitor. You know, and I don't see anything wrong with that, do you? He had sold his soul for a dollar bill. And he was actually stealing from his neighbors. And so I feel like that we can surmise that he wasn't very well liked. Now, how does he feel when you're not well liked? That's kind of a problem, isn't it? How many folks do you know that are lonely? How many times have you ever been lonely? You know, I like people to like me. And I think you do too. We like other people to like us. We like to be in fellowship with other people. He was all by himself. I don't know, it doesn't say anything about his family. But probably if he had a family outside of that, nobody cared anything about Zacchaeus. And here he was. He heard that Jesus was coming. And folks, I believe he knew a whole lot more about Jesus than just he having curiosity. Because the Bible tells us very plainly, it went out all over the land. Everybody knew what Jesus was doing, healing the sick and that he was preaching. And so surely he would have heard that and he would have known that. And something was drawing him to see Jesus. What does the Bible tell us about the Holy Spirit of God? Nobody comes to the Father but by what? Right. Absolutely. God draws us to him. And the Holy Spirit of God works in people's hearts to conform them, to illuminate the truth that they have, to enable them to accept Christ. And so there was old Zacchaeus. He ran ahead. He wanted to see because the people wouldn't let him in. Can you imagine? He's running up to the crowd, you know, and he's trying to get through and everything. They look down and see who it is. They weren't about to give way to him. And so he runs ahead. And he gets up a sycamore tree. And there he is, hanging on a limb, looking over. And folks, Jesus knew where he was and knew who he was. And knew all about it. And so when he came by, he looks up in the tree. And he sees Zacchaeus there. And he says, Zacchaeus, make haste. Get out of that tree, because I'm going to abide in your house tonight, today. And then let's look at what happened in the crowd. And there's always that crowd. Folks, there's always dissenters, there's always murmurers, always murmuring, you know. I wonder what they're going to do when they get to heaven. You ever worry about that? You ever think about that? When folks like that get to heaven? If they get to heaven. And I've been a little, my wife says, sometimes you're too pointed, Cooper. I said, maybe I am. But you know what? Those folks that murmur all the time were following Jesus. Do you see that? Here they are, a multitude of them. They're following along. But Jesus had told them, you know, you follow me not for my message, not for who I am. And he had plainly made it clear who he was and why he had come. They didn't come for that. All they could see was the physical side of it because he fit them. And they were looking for some new thing. What an exciting thing to see, you know, somebody walk or blind to see and so forth. So they were, that's why they were there. They weren't there seeking any spiritual truth at all. And so the Bible tells us that, Zacchaeus accepted Christ and he, because it says in, verse 8, he stood up and said, Lord, behold, half my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man, my false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. Now, do you understand that that was a requirement of the Jews under Jewish law? So he wasn't an uneducated man. He knew what the law was. He knew what the Bible taught, the Old Testament taught. And Jesus said something in verse 9 that I like, because I'm a dispensationalist. And I'm a strong dispensationalist. I'm not a hyper dispensationalist, but I believe that God dealt differently with Israel than he does with the church age, with us today. Salvation is the same from Genesis to the end of the world. That's not changed. It's all in Jesus Christ. But God does work differently with different times, with different people. And so here were these Jews, supposedly religious people. They wore, you know, their garments and their garb and all this kind of stuff, make themselves look religious. And they wanted people to think they were, and went to great lengths to do that. They were hypocrites, feigning something that wasn't in their heart. That was what was going on. But they were following him, but you know what? I heard years ago somebody said that, you know, you give somebody enough rope, they'll hang themselves, and they hung themselves because here they were murmuring at Jesus going to the sinner's house. They completely missed why Christ had come. They hadn't listened to his message. But Jesus picked Zacchaeus for a reason. You understand that? Just not inadvertently, well, there's a man up a tree. I think I'll talk to him. Now, that's not what happened. What he did, he said, this man is a sinner. And folks, he was the most gross sinner there was in the area. But he was a Jew, and he this day I'm going to be with you. And so he came to Zacchaeus' house. He preached to him, told him who he is. Zacchaeus believed and trusted in Jesus Christ and was saved. And hear the people murmuring. But notice what Jesus said in verse 9. Jesus said unto him, this day salvation has come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of who? Abraham. You know what he was? He was a true Jew. That crowd that was following him, they weren't. You know, everybody who claims the name of being a Jew is not a Jew. Had a man just this past weekend tell me he was a Jew. He's not a Jew, by the way. He's not a Jew in any sense. And the Bible says he received the Lord joyously. He came down joyously. And let me just say this. One of the things that comes with the conversion and the change in people's life, and I don't have time to really develop this because of time I think is gone. But we have so much to be proud of and to be happy with in Christ. He changed us. He gave us a new life. He makes joy possible. Do you understand that? That's what conversion does. It makes it possible for us to be what God created us to be. And what Christ went on that cross and worked so hard to do. So he received him joyfully. And again, we don't know the details of all that went on. But I'm sure that there were a lot of things that went on and that the Lord told him. And it's just an amazing thing for me to understand it, to see what the Lord did. Let's change the poem around a little bit, okay, and I'll close. I'm trying to find it in my notes. Okay, well, I can do it without it. The title of this poem is Is the Land of Beginning Again. There is a wonderful place called the Land of Beginning Again, where all our past mistakes and headaches and all our poor selfish grief can be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door, never to be put on again. Isn't that wonderful? I want to hear a lot of amens on that one. Amen. Never to be put on again. When I start thinking about what Christ did for me, I can't tell you anything more than to tell you this. This comes to mind. Because I know what I was. And I know what Christ has made me. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm so happy to know that when I die and this old body is laid in the grave like Carolyn's grandmother was, I won't be there. I won't be there. I'll be in heaven with the Lord. Heaven with Him. Sinless. 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 Being able to walk the portals of heaven, that perfect and wonderful place that is so holy. And holy means separated from sin. There's not going to be anything derogatory there. No sin. To be in the very presence of God, because this is, folks, this is the only way it'll ever happen, is if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. I never know. I preach sometimes to people, I think, well, everybody has made a profession of faith. And generally, this Sunday night crowd is a little better in that class than the other services and so forth. And let me commend you on coming on Sunday night. There's a lot of churches. I ride up and down the roads and so forth. They don't have services on Sunday night anymore. Look at their billboards. But you're here. Why are you here? I hope you came to worship God. I hope you came to be challenged for Him. But if you're here tonight, you've never really trusted Christ Jesus as your Savior. Let me just tell you something. You have a certain future. Don't depend on what I say. But it depends on what God has said, because He's the one who created it and He made it. He made you. And He created both heaven and hell. And He says, you reject me, I cannot let you go to heaven. And you will surely spend eternity burning in the fires of hell. Oh, that's so terrible even to think about it. And yet on the other side, think about the joys, rejoicing for eternity. You know, there weren't a whole lot of folks stood up tonight. As I look around the congregation tonight, there's a lot of folks here I don't see. And the reason I don't see them is because they're not with us anymore. And I have relatives, my mom and dad, and Carolyn's mom and dad. And I have two sisters that are gone over. And people in my church, I preach so many funerals. And I preach some good funerals too. Folks that I knew where they were rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. And let me just commend the Lord Jesus to you tonight. Would you accept the reality if you're here without Christ? And just put your faith in Him. Quit fighting, okay? Just quit fighting. I fought for so many years. I wouldn't go to church for about 2 or 3 times in 10 years. I knew what would go on when I got there. I didn't want a part of it. But now I can't hardly wait to go to church. That's all changed. Would you trust Christ as your Savior tonight? If you're not here, you've never trusted Him. This is an invitation. This is why we're here tonight. To preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight as a Christian, I hope you fully understand and realize what God has done for you. And more than that, show your appreciation by living your life like Zacchaeus did. He went out and gave to the poor. That's what the Old Testament told him to do. Can you imagine, here you're a Jew, Zacchaeus is a tax Jew, and he comes to your door. Who is that? And the kids all running in there. That's old Zacchaeus. What in the world is he on? I paid him already. And there's Zacchaeus. And they open the door, and he hands them money. And they say, what's going on? What is that for? And Zacchaeus tells them what happened to him. I met Jesus Christ at Jericho. Have you met Christ? Tell folks about it. Tell folks about it. So good to see so many of you tonight. I appreciate you so much. And I hope you'll respond, if God's working in your heart, to the invitation. Would you do that? As you bow your heads all over the room, we're going to pray.